What up, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the Enzo, or to another edition of the Enzo podcast. I'm Chris Chastain. Eric's normally hosting, but he's not here. He, quote-unquote, has a strained throat, according to his Twitter post as of last night, so he will be out for the next week or two, is what the post says. I don't know how accurate it is. I'm staying away from that. But anyway, we do have another guest, though. We had him on about a month ago, but we had some technical problems, so wasn't able to get him on again. But he's back. Brian Willis, how are you?
I'm good. Good now. Now the computer's working and all the technology's straightened out on my end.
This is our second restart, or our first restart, so we will find out. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and get straight into what we're going to talk about, because we do have a fantasy baseball draft coming up at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. So, with that being said, is there anybody you're planning on targeting in this fantasy draft?
Aaron Judge.
That's a pretty good pick. I honestly don't know who I'll plan on drafting. I'll probably draft out of random, probably the top person on the draft list. Might go by position, go through, click the tab, and click the top person, just because that's what I do when I'm drafting in a sport that I don't know what I'm looking at or what players or do what or whatever the positions are, because I don't know anything about baseball as far as that goes. Fantasy, I have zero knowledge on. So, but yeah, we have that up coming up in a little while. So, let's talk about some of the Green Bay Packers moves. Everybody knows you're a Green Bay Packers fan. So, let's talk about the first one.
Yep.
Jimmy Graham signs a 3-year, $30 million deal. I'm assuming it's $10 million a year. We said the other day that we did not we were okay with the move, but not necessarily the length of the contract and the amount. You might think differently. What do you think about the move?
I actually really like this signing. We've had issues at tight end for a while. Jimmy Graham is a big red zone target. With the emergence of Devontae Adams, we could afford to get rid of Jordy Nelson. That freed up $10 million in cap space, and we're able to sign Jimmy Graham to fill that void, and we're fairly deep at wide receiver, so
yeah,
I like it.
All in all, I think it's a pretty good move. Like I said the other day, I was telling Eric, I really do think it's a good move. I'm not sure about the 3 years. I think I would have done 2 years, $20 million. But I guess the third year, if you have to cut them or whatever the case may be, you can. Which leads to our next little topic point. The Packers released Jordy Nelson the other day, right before they picked up Jimmy Graham. Cleared about $10 million in cap space. So what's your thoughts on this? And would you rather see them cut Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb? Because we knew they were going to cut one or the other.
Yeah. If you saw what the Packers signed Devontae Adams to, they signed him to a big extension. You knew that coming into the 2018 season that it was either going to be Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb or both. I mean, we still might see Randall Cobb get released here because we still have holes elsewhere on the team.
Defense.
If they were to release Cobb, that would clear another $9 million. So it's preseason is still pretty.
Yeah,
interesting
there's
here.
Still a lot to go in the with the free agency and the draft, so we have a lot more to watch for. But I know you said you think they could cut both Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. Do you think they'll cut Randall Cobb, or would you lean towards no?
That's such a tough question, because if you cut Cobb, you could put Ty Montgomery back at the slot position again, and you'd still be okay, because now that you have Jamal Williams and or was it Jamal Williams? Yeah, it's Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams and I'm blanking on the other running back there. Jones running the ball well. We saw that they did that well last season. You can afford to put Ty Montgomery back at the slot position and release Cobb and have more money to spend on, say, a corner.
They got more than just quarterback struggles at the defense on the defense, but the quarterback's where you have to start because they really don't have a proven quarterback like you said earlier. I don't see it either. They've got to sign someone to do that, but I still think they're gonna have to keep Randall Cobb. I just don't think it would be a great move to release Randall Cobb as well. You've got to give Aaron Rodgers somebody to, besides Jimmy Graham. I just think
Devontae's his guy now.
Yeah, but I just don't think even the two picks. It's because we know Jimmy Graham's not this dominant tight end anymore. But I think if you kept both of them, I think it would be okay. You could live with it, but releasing both, you just don't give Aaron Rodgers enough, in my opinion. But on to our next Packers signing. They've done quite a bit this offseason. They signed Muhammad Wilkerson to a one-year, $5 million contract. What do you think about this?
Yeah. Yeah, that was an interesting signing because he used to play under Patton. Patton is our new defensive coordinator. So a lot of people pointed out that last season, Mo Wilkerson looked like he quit on the Jets toward the end of the season, and I think he kind of did. If you're a stud player on a bad team and you're locked in a long-term contract, it may come to a point where you don't want to be there anymore.
Right.
And the money just isn't enough to keep you committed. And I think that's what happened. I hope that's all that happened because I don't want to bring in a guy. And he's only got a one-year contract, but I don't want to bring in a guy who's just doesn't have it anymore. But I don't see that being the case with Mo Wilkerson.
Yeah, I would agree with you as well, especially with him. We are, you know, he thrived under Mike Petty or the former Cleveland coach. But yet the money is kind of low. I still might wonder if the money might become a problem. I mean, with it being a one-year deal, probably not because he's still going to have to prove it this season. So all in all, I'd say it's a pretty good move just because it's a cheap move for the Packers. So what is the top position that the Packers need right now after these three moves?
Oh, they need a corner. They need a corner so bad. And every day that goes by that another free agent corner gets signed, yeah, it just kills me. I mean, there's still some decent talent out there that hasn't been signed yet. EJ Gaines from the Bills is still out there, 26-year-old. I would imagine when you're 26, you probably want a longer deal, whereas a guy like Rashawn Melvin is 28. We could maybe get away with signing him to a 3-year deal, but they're both unrestricted free agents, both those guys. It'll be interesting. I saw Sherman come off the board, Butler.
There's plenty of good options that the Packers could have picked up, even if they were cheaper contracts. Now they might have been cheap. They could have gone after them first. And they chose not to, I assume. I did not hear the Green Bay Packers in any of these conversations.
You definitely don't see their name pop up. I mean, Mo Wilkerson hit free agency, and the Packers were one of the first people mentioned.
Not great. I mean, that's probably the top position that they need because we saw those quarterbacks last year get thrashed over and over and over. pretty much all season. They might had a couple of good games, but nothing that we can actually remember now. So, what's the state of the Packers right now, in your opinion? Do you, as of right now, without them signing a quarterback, do you like their chances going into next season of making the playoffs again?
It's tough to gauge. I mean, your defense has struggled for the past how many years, and you just hope that bringing in a mind like Patton can figure out ways to utilize Clay Matthews and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Man, I would love to see Ha-Ha Clinton Dix have like 5 sacks on the season. The guy's got speed from the safety position, and I don't think he has any sacks in the NFL for his career yet. But he just seems like such a weapon that's been underutilized. I was glad to see Dom Capers.
Yeah, that was a move that several thoughts should have happened years ago. Under Mike Petty, I think it'll be a better defense in general, even if they don't work to pick up one cornerback, a decent one. I think it'll be a better defense in the first place. Do you have any other comments about the Packers? Anything?
No, yeah, not really. I'm just excited to get the season underway here.
Yeah,
we've got
a long time, but yeah, there's not really a lot to, at this point that we have to really talk about as far as a particular team goes. But anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, what about you? What about you and your Falcons?
Well, we've seen a defensive tackle, two defensive tackles go within the past 3 days. So what I would like to see, no way it's going to happen, but hold on a second. Ndamukong Suh, I would like to see them sign Ndamukong Suh, but they don't. One, they don't have the money to really do that. And two, I don't think they would bring in that kind of possible distraction. But I think it could be a good distraction. I think that they could help them, but that's not going to happen. So besides that, I just don't see them making a whole lot of free agency moves. Maybe they go after
a
wide receiver or something, but I just don't see it right now. Not a whole lot, but I would like to see them sign Sue. I would think it would be pretty cool, but it's not going to happen. That would be like a dream signing. And Sue would have to take less money than the maximum because Atlanta just doesn't have the maximum to be giving.
yeah, I definitely can't. Sue would probably, oh man, $9 million a year, rock bottom.
Yeah, way too much.
I don't know what the ceiling is, but I think the least he would take is probably.
Yeah, he's
going
to want closer to the maximum than the minimum, which is what the Falcons would need. Another quarterback that wanted a lot of money, Kirk Cousins, who signs with the Minnesota Vikings under a fully guaranteed contract for $86 million or some close to that, between $85 and $90 million.
Yeah, I think it came out to 84.
It's somewhere between 80 and 90. So do you think this is a good signing by the Vikings or a bad signing by the Vikings? We know this is a good signing as far as Kirk Cousins going there because he does get the good amount of money. So is this a good or bad signing for Minnesota?
Long term, I think it's great. I think it's great for the Vikings, bad for the NFC North teams, especially ones that don't have a corner.
Yeah.
Short term, it's a lateral move. Short term, this next season, I don't expect crazy numbers out of them, but going forward, it could really spell problems for other teams in the NFC North and the NFC.
Yeah, I would agree with you as well, especially in the second and third year. Now, I'm not saying some people will take me as saying that he's the best quarterback, even though this is what will happen. I will say that I think he will do pretty well over the next 3 years, and somebody will come back and tell me that I said that he was the best quarterback in the NFL, that he was going to be a great quarterback, the best quarterback in the NFL. That is not what I'm saying at all.
Sure, sure.
and we know who I'm talking about, but yeah, I think he'll do pretty good things in Minnesota. Maybe not year one. I don't see them being Super Bowl contenders year one. Now in the second and third year, yeah, they should be Super Bowl contenders, or this was a failed deal. But year one, let's kind of see what happens, see how he plays. It's going to take a year for me to get him to the system. It happens all the time. Except unless you're Dak Prescott in Dallas, that's a different story. And then we you talk about they still didn't win a playoff game, but that's besides the point. Our next signing, the Raiders signed today, actually, Jordy Nelson to a 2-year, $15 million deal. What are your thoughts on that?
That wasn't a surprise. You've got James Jones basically scouting him to the Raiders, a former Packer turned Raider. Edgar Bennett used to be a coach with the Packers, now with the Raiders. And then Reggie McKenzie used to be with the Packers organization, is now with the Raiders. As soon as the Oakland Raiders came up, I just knew Jordy was going there. I'm just thankful that he's not.
Oh, yeah, that would have been. I actually thought the New England Patriots would have been his. That was a favorite for him to go there, but it didn't happen. It ended up being the Raiders, and I still believe this is a very good signing, especially after we found out later that evening they were releasing Michael Crabtree, which I'm kind of skipping around, I know, from what we talked about earlier. Yeah. I shouldn't go there. I thought I was going to ask another question in a while. They ended up releasing Michael Crabtree later that evening, or later this today, a couple hours ago. So all in all, I think this is a good deal. For some reason, I thought I was asking you, did you think this is a good deal again? But I'm answering the question.
Yeah, no, I think the signing of Jordy is a good deal. The release of Crabtree, it could end up biting him if Crabtree signs somewhere within that division, which is a possibility. You know, it'd be really funny to see him sign with the Rams.
Yeah, I couldn't see that. Who knows? Well, I don't see the Rams happening, but he could sign with one of those teams in the NFL or the AFC North or West AFC West. This all mixed up, right? What's up?
No, yeah, it was interesting. I saw that the Baltimore Ravens had a contract all worked out with Ryan Grant. An issue came up with his foot during his physical with the Ravens, and now the Ravens are looking at Michael Crabtree. So that could turn out to be the place that he signs.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Make sure you jump into the draft or whatever. It's starting in like a minute. I'm not sure if you saw my message. But anyway, back on point. I'll talk for a second. No, I got some random noise going through my ears. And I'm wondering what that is. But anyway, back to football. We were talking about, you seem to have a comment about Doug Martin, which I do agree with you about. Marshawn Lynch is probably retiring. That was probably a one-season deal. I don't think that they would have signed Doug Martin and expected Marshawn Lynch to stay in with the Raiders. And I'm sure you would agree with that as well. Do you have any comment about that?
Yeah, I thought the signing of Doug Martin before the season was really interesting. I thought that we would be probably 2 or 3 weeks into the season before Doug Martin would be signed. I thought it was going to take an injury to a running back, because he's got a lot of wear on the tires.
Right, yeah. I just think, all in all, I would say this is a good signing, because I think closer to the, this was closer to Marshawn Lynch's end. Even if they were to keep Marshawn Lynch, it wouldn't be but for another season. I think by the time they move to LA, he's retired. That's the goal. That's the general goal. I think he wanted to stay for the final season in Oakland because he's an Oakland guy. There's a player who has not been signed, and we have not really heard anything about it unless you have, and you can break this news to me because I haven't heard it. Tyrann Mathieu released by the Arizona Cardinals. Have you heard anything about where he could sign, who he could sign with, and who do you think he will sign with if that's the case?
I haven't seen a thing. There's a lot of places he could go and make an immediate impact and make a defense a lot better. But I haven't seen anything. I mean, it'd be nice to say for us, from our standpoint, it'd be nice to say, like, oh, he'd be a great addition to the Falcons, or he'd be a great addition to the Packers. Some people might think he'd be a great addition to the Broncos. But anywhere he goes, he's going to be a stud.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be a great piece on wherever he goes if he plays like he has in Arizona. Really, I don't have a definite place right now because I haven't really put a whole lot of thought into it, if I'm just being honest. I wish I could tell you where he would, or some places that he's talked to, and I would say, where's the best place for him to go, but I cannot do that at this time. Some people call it a sad story, some people call it a good story. Joe Thomas has retired, offensive lineman for the Cleveland Browns. What are your general thoughts, and what do you think he'll do? You think there's people saying that he might be a analyst for ESPN or somebody. What do you think about that? His future?
Yeah. Oh man, he's already got a podcast, Tomahawk podcast, which does great, and I could definitely see him going into TV analyst, live game analyst. Monday Night Football is probably a great match for him, depending on who else is.
Yeah, with John Gruden going to Oakland to be the head coach, maybe he'll get a spot in there to come soon. I'm pretty sure that we haven't seen an actual decision by ESPN of who's going to be that Monday Night host, so maybe that would happen. We'll have to wait and see. Some news that I don't think you believe should have been on here, but it's on here. Miami signs quarterback David Fells to a 1-year contract. This isn't really this is just news that came out today that I was just putting in here. But do you have any comments about it?
No, not really. What I do find interesting is that Ryan Tannehill, who was drafted to the Dolphins to be the franchise quarterback, has now basically become their bridge quarterback for whoever they draft this year. I think he just signed an extension or something for like 3 more years, which is great for them. I mean, he was their franchise quarterback. He's the bridge quarterback. And then he'll be a backup for a couple of years for whatever rookie they bring in. So, I mean, it's interesting.
You're trying to say it's interesting.
I'm trying to make this sound good, but the Dolphins, I don't think they're even going to win a game this year.
Oh, really?
They're
a game?
No. No. The Bills are getting better. The Patriots are always good. Maybe if the Jets come to Miami, they might beat them, but they've gotten rid of so much talent. They're just hurting. They don't even have a quarterback. They barely have a running back. I mean, Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills, I think who else did they signed? Albert Wilson from the Chiefs.
I will say their best position is the wide receiver position. Not meaning a whole lot when you don't have a great quarterback or a good quarterback or even a okay quarterback. But that is their best position in my opinion. Which leads to our next conversation. The one we talked about earlier, Ndamukong Suh, was released by Miami recently, Wednesday, I believe. per reports, or per what you say, he's visited with the Saints and the Titans. Out of the two, if the Saints and the Titans are the two teams, which one could you see him going to?
I could see him going to the Titans, but I think he'd be a better fit for the Saints.
I absolutely agree. I think he would. I'm not saying he would be a bad fit. I'm not saying he would be a bad fit for the Titans. So, he would be a good fit, but I think he would be a better fit with the Saints. He would fit the Saints closer to that. Back to the Super Bowl again. I think. They need a little improvement defensively, and then they'll be close to ready for a Super Bowl. I would like to see. I think they should sign another wide receiver, but. Those are the few things that I think the Saints need, and he would be a great signing for the Saints or the Titans.
He definitely would be a great signing for the Saints. That division is going to be a tough one again this year, and it's going to be great to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, not a whole lot to discuss there with that news. The next one. Of course, we talked about earlier that the Raiders released Michael Crabtree. Where do you think he'll go? The Ravens are interested after Ryan Grant failed a physical. Well, they're saying that there's question marks on his physical, and I'm not sure if there's any news out about that as of the past few hours about what failed. But are the Ravens are the Ravens the spot for Michael Crabtree? I think so.
They weaseled their way out of the Ryan Grant potential contract. It was a bad contract. I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but I couldn't believe Ryan Grant's been in the league 5 years, has 86 receptions over that time, and they were giving him some crazy contract, and they said, oh, we don't like something that turned up in your physical with your foot or something like that. So they're out of that. I'm pretty sure they're gunning for
Crabtree. Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I think Ryan Grant, that just sucks for that to happen for Grant himself. But when it's an ankle thing and you're a wide receiver, you kind of just have to let him go. I mean, because you really don't have a choice. With the ankle problems or whatever the ankle, as you said. Next on the list is Eric Ebron scheduled to visit with Carolina, Indianapolis, and New England. Out of those three places, which one would be? Okay, let's change this up a little bit. Where would he fit best?
Sure. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
New England.
I think you're absolutely right there. As much as we don't like to keep on adding New England, but yeah, I couldn't disagree with you. Carolina would be a great place. Indy, so not the best option. So yeah, you have to go with that one option. You have anything else to say about Eric Ebron? Ebron, oh my gosh, I can't say that name, but you got anything else for me?
Oh. No, not really. He was supposed to be the stud there in Detroit. He was a first-round selection and sort of didn't live up to expectations.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it works. He didn't live up to them. But on to our next topic at point. This is some news that just came out tonight that you popped right on. Make sure we put this on the podcast. Seattle Seahawks are now shopping Earl Thomas, seeking a first and third round pick. I think they might be able to get more. What do you think?
Oh man, I don't know about more. I don't even know who would be interested in him. Do you?
Yeah, right this second, I honestly don't. That's kind of a tough spot to be in.
They better get it figured out before.
New England would not trade that much for Earl Thomas. I would tell you that right now. Maybe this earlier.
Yeah, that's for sure. They if I was the Seahawks, though, I would try to get a deal figured out before Tyrann Mathieu signs somewhere, because that's one less team that's going to be.
Oh yeah, yeah. Even if you can't get what they're seeking, because I think a first and a third. I think they might be able to get I'm thinking three draft picks, a second, a third, and a fourth, which would be more than what they would be getting, just in a different order. I can't see a team moving up a first-round draft pick. I see three draft picks, but not a first. I just can't see that.
Hypothetically speaking right now, would the Browns have three second-round picks? Would they trade two of those to get Earl Thomas?
I don't think so. Just because their defense isn't really that. They're actually, it's unlikely. I would say it's unlikely that they would give up that. I could see them signing Tyrann Mathieu before they did that. I think that's a good. If they couldn't get Tyrann Mathieu and they were going after that position, yeah, I could see that as a possibility. I'm just not sure if they're really shopping for that position right now.
No, off the top of my head, I can't even think of who the other safety is there next to Jabril Peppers. But
in Cleveland?
I know the Browns are loaded with picks, and if someone's going to ask for a ridiculous price for a proven player, the Browns might be one of the teams that.
If the team's gonna pay more a first round or a second, multiple second round picks in this year's draft or next year, it's gonna be Cleveland. It's gonna be cool because they have the most draft picks. They have so many like still piled up. They've made pretty great deals this offseason. I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about these amounts, but I don't see it happening just based off of what they want. I just don't think a team is going to want Earl Thomas that badly. But it's a good way to start, I guess. Good starting point for the Seahawks to shop Earl Thomas. And some breaking news, or not really breaking, or kind of breaking news. Adrian Claiborne has signed with the New England Patriots. This is the same Adrian Claiborne that I think's overrated because I think he got that contract based off of one game versus the Dallas Cowboys last season when he got nearly 5 sacks in the same game. But we do know he did have 9 sacks the whole season, so that was a one-game coincidence against a left tackle that was absolutely awful. That was a third-string left tackle. But what do you think about this move? I don't think it's a bad I want to see what the contract is, but I think that's the reason why he got the contract.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I don't really have too much of an opinion on the move itself. It's just the Patriots getting better. It's so depressing.
Even
when they overpay for a guy, you know it's just going to turn out well for him.
But here's the thing. The Patriots have had four unrestricted free agents move on to different teams. I think this is the first season that we can say in a little bit that the Patriots actually have not won the offseason, have not won the free agency period so far. It's weird to say that, but this is the first season that we can actually say that because the Adrian Claiborne signing, not that spectacular. I don't see it happening. Even if they were to sign Eric Ebron, I don't think that would make it a excellent season. I just don't see it. Or an excellent free agency period for the Patriots. I think they're not going to win free agency this year. They'd have to sign every single player for the remainder of this free agency season for them to win it. So I think that's something different. That's pretty neat that I say pretty neat because I'm so I'm like you. I'm so tired of seeing Patriots winning everything.
I think you're exactly right. You've definitely seen more talent this offseason leave their team than they have brought in. It was pretty interesting to see the extended Rex Burkhead, which means he'll probably never get the ball, which that's what it usually means in that backfield. So,
yeah, that's the same thing for New England. I mean, it's just the way it works. We're talking about New England, right? You said New England, right? Okay, I was just making sure we were talking about the same thing. I was just making sure we were on the same page. But, yeah, when you got Tom Brady back there and all the pieces that they have, you're not necessarily going to get the ball every game. Talk some of the running backs that have played for New England over the past few seasons. There have been several. You don't get the ball every game. You just don't. You might only get the ball 8 games of the season. You might have a total of 80 carries. On a whole season. That's just New England. That's the way they roll. But besides that, I think that's pretty much it. I think we covered everything. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
No, other than the fact that I'm embarrassing myself in this fantasy baseball draft
I'm letting the auto draft go because I'll see. Just real quick, let me just tell y'all who I've got. So
I would love to be able to say that I've just had it on auto draft.
I did pick the first two. I picked Aaron Judge and somebody else I probably shouldn't have picked, but anyway for us, that's all. Thanks for joining us, thanks for joining me, Brian, today. Glad we were finally able to get you on. Hopefully you'll come back sometime.
Definitely.
And as far as I go, thank you, the fan, for joining me today. Tomorrow I will be live on Twitter, I think. Eric won't be there either, so it'll just be me and possibly another guest. We'll see. I don't know yet. This is still in the making because this was a little unexpected. But besides that, thanks for joining me. Of course, follow us at MGoPod on Twitter. Subscribe on iTunes and Google Play and Podbeam or whatever, however you listen. We appreciate every follow or subscription or whatever, however that works. however you do it, however you subscribe, we appreciate it. And with that, see you later. Peace out.